Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Anywhere. We could have like a little. Oh, sorry. Well, you've started a bit early. We could have like a little sort of like a little music for maybe a few seconds before you. Anyway, you crack on.
Yeah, I suppose, mate. But don't forget the audio listeners are still going to listen to this little bit of rabble anyway. So yeah, no matter what we say, they're still going to have to listen to the boring fucking.
Well, all I can say is I hope you enjoyed that little intro there.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to what fucking season? Season 3. Episode 37. I'm joined by your man Gilly, aka Perry from Kevin and Perry Go Large. How are you doing, Gilly?
Yeah, it could be worse.
And Smarty's decided to wear a scum shirt tonight. Thanks, Smarty, for joining us. Oh, close though, isn't it? It's close.
Dirty bastard.
I mean, it is one of those.
Good evening. Yeah, thanks everyone for joining us. Absolutely loads of shit to talk about, and we're actually, believe it or not, relatively in a good place, I suppose, aren't we? Because we've expected we've seen it coming, haven't we? Between us in the groups and that. Let's be honest, haven't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, I got some stick off Jay and Carl last week for saying, even last week, that we were down. I've been saying it, I think Palace was when I chucked in the towel. And you know, it was one of those where I want wanting it to happen. I want wanting to be right. I just thought that we weren't going to come back from it. And so I'd kind of resigned myself to it. So yeah, of course, during the game, towards the end of the game, and after the game, I was pissed off. But you know,
we'll get into it a little bit more after a bit of an intro.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
The utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
What do I actually say there towards end? Now I feel,
I mean,
a bit,
I feel
like
a bit right,
dickhead.
Yeah.
That were back in the days when we used to get hammered, wasn't it? And come on the podcast and nobody listened. Like, not even one person. We'd just do it between us. And we'd just
But
get
we've got 45 on now. And that used to be the total engagement, audio, YouTube, ever. Twitter. That's all we got.
Yeah. I remember me and you once doing a Wolves, Brady and Coke, like, I think in the first season, we might have had about 6 or 7 people watching.
Was it me?
Live.
Me?
Like, fucking hell. No, me and you. But yeah, you got absolutely shit-faced. We had Simon Johnson on with us.
Oh, yeah.
Was
that when you went to sleep?
He was pissed. He fell asleep. Fell asleep with laptop in his hand.
Laptop just started going like this.
Can't spare. We didn't even, he's gone. Anyway, it's nice to see you both.
Yeah, lovely to see you both. And look, just to go back to what we said about us sort of accepting, almost giving in, I think. I wouldn't say giving in. I think we gave in a long time ago when we were absolutely plastered by Palace. I don't think we really, I've probably held a little bit more hope than the rest of you, in fairness, I would probably say. A little bit more positivity and that, but yeah, I've come to terms with it now. We need nothing less than a fucking miracle next week. in fact, this weekend. It's five days away. They could score some goals, couldn't they, them birds? And that video. Can you remember the video?
Yeah.
Indoor five-a-side.
CD
videos from the early noughties.
Is that the same time as that one that had the women all doing, like, with the...
Yes.
And yeah, that's it.
Benny Benassi.
Eric Benny Prince, Benassi Eric satisfaction, Prince. Wasn't it?
Benny Benassi and Eric Flat Eric was the deep, that was quite a good tune. You know?
I mean, I didn't expect us to be discussing this, but it's better than football.
It's better than the football.
I tell you what, though, Luke, I just want to point out I'm loving the vest.
Cheers, mate. I've got
that's a point. Us three were in comments giving Jay some shit over his fucking bra that we were wearing last night, and you've come on in one as well.
On purpose.
Yeah, but we were completely ignored.
It's almost a nod to Jay looking like Mick Foley last night.
I do have to say that yours is much nicer than his bra.
Yeah, by the margin, isn't it? And there's less of his titty on show.
Yeah, and I don't have one of them battle flags on the corner of mine, the redneck battle flags or whatever they're called.
That was the one I was
Confederate
thinking
flag, was it?
That was the one.
Yes, that's it. Confederate battle flag.
Fucking do it. Jesus. Oof,
you what?
Oh, cat's peak. Starting a
that
few.
That was nice, wasn't it? That video.
Yeah, that was with leggings and leotards on at top.
Yes.
Doing yoga, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Bending all
I sometimes go to the gym and just watch yoga through door.
Gilly, I think he looks the right tit in that. Now, does he mean he's looking at your right tit?
I don't know. Anyway, shall we get into a bit of football?
Do we have to talk about football?
Yeah, briefly.
Let's
just talk a little bit about football because look, we've got a lot. Actually, probably more to talk about because of the almost certainty now that we're going to be playing in the Championship next season. I feel let's just touch on West Ham. There's not a lot of great to say about it. I mean, Smarty, I know you don't watch Leeds anymore, so we won't bother coming to you.
I'm just a shithouse season ticket holder. I'm not even a real fan.
Not a proper fan.
What did Gilly? I mean, I obviously was in the ground, but I was absolutely baked off my tits, so I don't really remember everything.
what I've been saying for a while, and I've said it in group and I've said it all over Twitter, is it's the hope that kills you. And I've been saying to people, look, we're down. And do you know what? If you come to terms with us being down and then we stay up, great, fantastic, bonus. But just
makes it a bit easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, just come to terms with it and try and process it so that we're not in that. You know that, seven stages of grief or whatever it is and where you are on that curve. If you're in a position where you think you're just about okay with it, you stop that denial and you stop the anger and all of that sort of stuff, you kind of get to grips with it. And then Leeds come along and play for 25 minutes and make you think, ooh,
hey up.
Ooh, hey here up. We go. And then it gets dashed again and it's all shit again. So that's why I was pissed off towards end of the game and beyond it, because actually we had an opportunity to go and do something and then we didn't. And it's the hope that kills you.
Enough. And look, I think I read, or I was talking to somebody on Twitter the other day. In fact, it might have been yesterday. It was Debington. And we've dropped 25 points from winning positions this season. That is criminal. That is absolutely criminal.
And just to put that into some sort of context, I'm just going to have a look at where that would put us in the tables. 25 points, did you say?
25 points. We'll be in Europe, probably.
25 points.
So that gives us 56. We would be joint with Brentford.
Yeah.
And what a season they've had.
It's a bad place to be, is it, really?
I know. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in Brentford, Smite, but yeah, I know what you mean. I know where you're coming from. Yeah, it's criminal, you know, and I was on with Joe last night, and one of the questions that we were asked was around the players accepting a lot of the risk. But look, we can all point fingers at the board; they've not done it right. Yeah, we've all got to come to grips with that. Now, I see it now every day: people self-assessing actually critically assessing the current squad. Who we're going to keep? Who's going to go? Who would you keep? Who wouldn't you go? I'm guilty of it. We all do it. It's natural, but. There's not a lot of them players realistically. If we went down and we were fighting to come back up, I would want it back in the Premier League next time round.
I think, you know, when you We might end up going on a tangent again here, but
fuck it, do it.
You know when you're a fair bit younger and you're going out on a night out, and you know that you might get into some scrapes and whatever else, and you look round at the group of lads that you're out with that night, and you're thinking, "You're all right, and you're all right. Yeah. I won't want any of you in any of it with me." Because you know that they're not going to back you up, and you know it goes back to that thing of it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And we don't see any of that in these players, and I think that's the issue is when you look at like genuinely properly good players, and you look at players like, let's say, Neymar, you know, he's up there and paid all that money for reason. Now, I call him a flat-track bully, but only when you compared him with the likes of Messi. You know, he is actually a very good player.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got flat-track bullies that want to play against players that are below their level, but they're playing above their level. They've, you know, the players that we've got, this level isn't right for the vast majority of them. And I think you're right. I think the other side to things is we've got absolutely no, I mean, and we all know this. We've got no control. We've got no say. It's like us picking the team before the game, isn't it? We can all say as much as we want, but my concern will come down to the fact that how much control will the board have? You know, how much control will the management team have of who stays and who goes? And all that comes down to what the legalities and commercial agreements are in those contracts. And so now, for our future, because we are resigned to it, it will be a miracle for anything else. For our future, we're now in a position where we're hoping on the competence of our board.
Yeah, and now who is on that board is another question. That's another question. Because reports of Rad's doing out in Italy and that. I mean,
is it Sampdoria he's been linked with?
Yeah, it is. And I think they're in a bit of financial crisis as well out there. So he's almost hoping to come and save the day, I suppose. But for one, that would scream to me that he needs the money from this to be able to do that from the sale. However, I feel he will probably sell enough to lose majority, but still keep a fair share just in case we get. He's clever, isn't he? He's not going to be
sure. He's always cash out of a big bet, isn't
he? He was always going to do that anyway, wasn't he? We're always going to keep a certain stake in club.
Well,
even though we're going to sell the majority to 49ers, but he was always going to retain a certain percentage, because why wouldn't you?
But I mean,
well, yeah.
Potentially. It depends what's in that deal, doesn't it? And none of us have seen the minutiae of the deal. I think it depends very much on what the 49ers would be willing to do, wouldn't it? Because if you think back to the Chelino time and him not wanting to buy the stadium and not wanting to upgrade the stadium until he'd acquired all of it because GFH owned part of it and therefore he'd be making them money, putting money in their pocket and that sort of thing. How much are the 49ers going to want to invest if all Rads is doing is just sitting there watching them invest and just pocketing the benefits off that? So what we'll end up doing there is almost like a split board where the 49ers, if they own 60% of the club, will front up 60%, but they'll expect the remainder to front up their element of it. Otherwise, the 49ers are investing. And let's be honest, they're in it for the money. They are an investment group. They're not in it for the benefit of the game. And it's not a bowler that's coming in as a plaything. It is to make money. They are an investment group. So they're not going to want to invest in a playing squad that needs it and a director of football that has to come in and the right coach and all of that sort of stuff if the rest of the shareholders aren't fronting up their own. So it depends very much on what the appetite is.
It could be very, very messy. It could be worse. I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I've said it all along about the Americans. The Americans haven't got a great track record in the Premier League as owners. But it could be an absolute disaster, really, couldn't it? It might be great in the short term. It might be ideal. We get Rads out and everything else. That's what everybody wants. And you know, we get all this new shiny ownership that's fronted up by Padraig Marathi or whatever he's called. Almost as bad as Cal, that was it. Is that how you say it?
It's Padraig in it or something.
Padraig Marath, I think, in it.
Yeah,
Marath. Marag. Parag. Anyway.
He's Irish cousin.
He'll be fronting it up, and he'll be the head of. He'll be the chairman, shall we say? I understand. But I brought this up, and I questioned this to Jer last night, and Jer knows a lot more about it than I do, certainly. And he seems to think that actually, no, although there's all these shareholders, there will be one voice rather than it being
Parag.
Two voices with, because at the moment they've got the 49ers are part of this situation that we're in because they've got they've got votes in the boardroom as it stands. Simple as that. Yeah. They've got three people currently from the 49ers investment group on the Leeds United board. So
yes.
You know, it's not something that's new and that's
but you've got two investment groups there. You've got the 49ers investment group and you've got Acer. Now Rad's heads up Acer, but you've got Mencucci and you've got Marinelli that are part of that and also on the board. So you've got conflicting voices now and we're failing now. So it's kind of
can't get much worse, can it? I mean, them getting relegated from the Premier League.
But equally, no. This season couldn't have been much worse than what we got now. You know, we got knocked out of the cups, and we it looks like we're going down. So there's not much worse could have happened. I think, but if you look at Leicester and the way that their board has had infighting, if they go down with us. I mean, if Everton go down, they're really, truly knackered based on what feedback we got about them, Luke, when we were speaking to Kieran from The Price of Football. Everton are really in the shit. But let's say Leicester are the other one that go down. They've already got a split board, and that's put them in the position they're in, where you've got 40% of the board want to go off and do horse racing, 40% want to be in football, and 20% want to get out of the game altogether. And there's just infighting in the board. So they're down there because there's infighting. What we don't want to see next season is more infighting to continue, because all that means is we'll end up doing a West Brom instead of a Sheffield United or whatever. And we'll just drop away.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. Who's this? Hey, up. I haven't seen him all season.
Hey.
Good evening, Sam.
Send him a link. Get him to come on. Fuck it.
Yeah, send him out, Smarty. Send him a text. See if he wants. If you want to come on, Simon, you can come and tell us.
Matt Goodall's in comments as well. Peter Lowy is one of the richest people in Oz. Apparently, he heads up the Westfield Group, but the Westfield Group are part of the 49ers investment group. So he's involved in our board, but he's part of that investment group from a 49ers standpoint. He's involved with them. They are right. So the Westfield Group is worth tens of billions. I think Pete Lowy himself, he's the son of the guy that actually runs the entire group, I think. But on his own, I think he's worth about 4 billion.
Right. I'm not saying it will be a disaster. I think people are far more informed and have looked into it and researched far greater detail than I have. I've said, look, the 49ers are great in America. They've, you know, they invest in the squad. They've got, you know, they recruit really well. They've got a good model. I mean, it's not football. It's American football. It's a different sort of thing. But all signs pointed to be relatively positive. And look, we can't really be much worse than a situation than we're currently in now. So I'm all for it. Look, we give it a go. We could fucking shoot us in the foot. It could be brilliant, you know. But just going back to the point, initial point, I know we're going to go off on loads of tangents probably tonight, but in terms of the playing squad then, somebody mentioned earlier, I think it was Shelley, and I spoke about it last night. What are your thoughts on this? The leadership group at Leeds United, do you think it's been difficult for new players to come in and youth to come through? Do you think that leadership group is a little bit overtight? There's obviously talk of how Bielsa left because of certain individuals going up and speaking to the board. Now, if that leadership group is that strong within Leeds United and they've managed to get rid of arguably one of the club's best managers ever, imagine how they're strutting around and do you think that could have a potential impact on how this season's gone? I'll go to you, Smart, because you're relatively quiet.
Oh, fucking hell, I didn't even listen to the question. I'm trying to send Simon a pissing invite.
I'll take it,
sorry.
It's fine.
You do it I'll first. Take I'll, it. I'll...
It's okay. You dickhead.
I won't even listen. I'm like, he's going to come
he's
to me.
He's probably listening to Binnie, isn't it, Gilly? He's did one game.
He wants game. Don't listen to questions. So
I mean, and that's it.
The short answer is yes. I think there's certainly plenty of potential for that to be the case. I think when you instill an expectation of leadership in certain players, what you do is you give them their head to kind of state what they think and to get involved. And if you don't manage that properly, then you end up losing your voice as the manager, because you don't have to be a manager to be a leader. but really you should be a leader to be a manager. And I think so. And I also think that any manager that sets out a leadership group to say, these are the seniors, these are the people that I'm going to work through, communicate through, get my ideas across to for them to push them out across. Not only does that potentially disillusion people that are not part of the leadership group that think maybe they should be, but also if an incoming manager thinks, actually, I don't want to do it that way, you erode some responsibility of that leadership group. And then you end up with splinters of, in talking of, well, he said that I were part of this leadership group and Aileen's still vice captain and he's wearing armband and I've not been able to wear armband. And you end up with potential of infighting.
And we've seen hints of it throughout the season. Do you remember when, was it Paddy threw his toys out the pram because he hadn't played? Or there was a rumour that he had put it out, thrown his toys out the pram at some stage, relatively recently, because he hadn't played or he was going to get taken off or something along them lines. What are you doing, Smarty?
Sorry. Just ignore me.
Jesus Christ.
What do you mean, recording, like Carl did?
Yeah, just little things like that, I think. And then obviously there's the rumour of Aileen saying, fuck him. And I don't think he did say that. But, you know, there's all these sort of things that build up a case as to why this leadership group should never have been put together, first of all. But almost you need a leader, one leader, and then a vice-captain. If you know, you have one voice in that because it just looks tragic at the minute. And one thing that was pointed out to me last night, and actually I hadn't noticed it until they mentioned it, was how much time this leadership group have spent going over to and speaking to the managers and vice managers when there's a break in play and stuff, just going straight over to the bench and chatting to the manager. Do you know, it was unthinkable, unheard of, in fact. I don't know. What's your thoughts, Smarty?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right, I'm back now. I've done him. Simon's coming on, so I've just sorted him out. Right. Sorry about that. I've done my admin for now. What's the question?
What's the message? What is the message? No, I mean, do you think the players have got too much power within the football club at the moment, I suppose, is the short question.
If they have, then they shouldn't do, in my opinion.
No, that's not the question, though. Do you think they have?
Yep. Well, I were going to lead on to that. We hear about this leadership group, don't we? And it's about how much influence they have over people or other players and stuff. You know, so we don't know, and I don't think we'll ever know, because we don't know how influential that leadership group is. But I suppose there's an element of it. You know, we've heard rumours of that some players falling out with each other and the senior players of the squad, you know, not necessarily seeing eye to eye with the younger lads, but I don't know. It's just a big barrel of shit, isn't it? I mean, there's so much wrong with the whole thing, the like literally from top to bottom. We've heard so many rumours about the board, about the disparity of the board, the falling outs from the players, the management. I mean, we've had four frigging managers this season. I mean, you know, it's just an absolute circus, isn't it? The whole
just on
thing,
that, Smarty. Just on that, Smarty. We've had four managers, and the team have not performed under four managers. Four different managers this season. They've not performed. No. That shouts to me that there's something wrong.
There's something wrong.
You
from
usually
top to
get
bottom,
a reaction. No. You usually get a reaction from a new manager. We've had four. In fact, we have probably had everything in between. We've had Allardyce one side, and then we've had probably Jesse Marsh the other side, man motivator. And then you've had Allardyce, who no shit. Do you know what I mean? And then we've had a bit of, in fact, Gratcher, I would say, is the opposite to Allardyce. And then you've had Marsh and Scoobs in the middle as well. And nobody has got the reaction that we've needed from those players. There is something more up than just the players not listening to managers. There's something up. The players just simply aren't either putting it in for each other or not good.
There's no direction.
Good example.
Though, is there?
Good example. Go on, Somerville and Aileen at the weekend both missed a ball or went for a ball and let it go out. Do you remember that? Down the right wing. And Aileen proper screamed at Somerville. Proper gave him it. And it wasn't Somerville's fault. It was both of their fault. They both left it.
Yeah, they both left it for each other, didn't they? And that happens. But surely the more senior player should be taking responsibility for that.
Absolutely. Saying, don't worry about it. Yeah. Chill out. You know, it'll...
Build up the junior.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, build up the more junior member
of the team.
What's
our vice captain? He was the captain on the field at the weekend.
He had the armband on, and he's tearing strips off a kid when they both were culpable for it running out of play.
Maybe the senior players are just using the young lads as the whipping boys, really.
Maybe the senior player understands how poor as a playing squad they've all been this season, and he's feeling the pressure. But that's still not an excuse for behaving that way. I don't think it is. I would appalled. I love Bill. I think he's been a great servant to the club, and I think that similar as can be levelled at some. I don't think the effort has been lacking from him. I think the output and the performance level has been lacking, but I don't think the effort has. So fair play. I still think that he's putting in as much as he can on a match day, but there's also ways to behave, and I don't think that behaving that way towards a more junior member of staff, especially when you're wearing armband, that's not right.
What do you make of his comments after the game, Smarty, about not being fit enough and running out of gas?
We've kind of seen that, though, haven't we, over the last, I dare say, the whole season. Jesse Marsh nailed it on the head when they said that the guys had been overtrained and this, that and the other, whatever else that he came out with. And I just thought, that's fair enough, but you've got to find some sort of balance. One, I understand that there's an element of the players breaking down because of the levels of fitness that they had to maintain. However, there's also the extreme other side of the coin where they're absolutely fat bastards and they can't move and they run out of steam after fucking half an hour of football.
Shall we get a professional opinion?
Let's get a proper opinion rather than those bollocks.
Simon Johnson, the elusive. How are you, mate?
I hope, lad, you're all right.
Sounds all right. Been a while.
It's nice to see you.
It is.
Very well.
I watch the episodes. I'm just in the. But do you know what? This is the first time I've been able to sign into YouTube. I've had to create a new account and all that, I think.
He's got lots of different accounts as Simon, is he? he's one to watch, that lad. I think there's so much. Sorry, I'll just say it a bit quickly. I just think there's too much disparity from top to bottom. The board may have conflicts of interest, being obviously pretty much 50-50%. There's no direction. There's no management, and there hasn't really been any sort of one direction from. And I don't mean the boy band, obviously. Before anyone starts in the comments, there's not been a direction since the start of the season. And then you've got all these infighting with the unfitness of the players. There's that much wrong. There is that much wrong with this squad and the whole club this year that it's just people laugh and people say, just tear it all down and start again. It literally needs that. Set it all on fire and bloody get it built back up from fucking ground up, because it's just an absolute shambles.
That lad who put the bomb scaring had a bit of a point, didn't he?
he should have just left him.
Right, we've got a comment here, Simon. I want you to take this one. The managers can't play for him. The players don't want it enough for whatever reason. We've seen every other team around us, all these in a relegation scrap, gone out and fought and looked like they want to stay up. What's missing? Why do we look so lackluster compared to the rest of the competition, do you think?
I have to trace it back to, I think someone referred to it as the leadership group. I think once that happens, you're just fighting a losing battle. I've seen it so many times where, and I think a lot of people use the terminology player power. But once that starts to creep into your camp, you have got absolutely no chance. And I think that combined with obviously, my mentality is always it has to be right at the top and filter its way down for any business or industry. That's the way it has to work. So I think with everything combined, I just don't think we've had a fair shot this year. But for the players that, got Bielsa out, I've just seen it so many times before. He was just fighting a losing battle, like I said.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think in terms of any leadership group I can't ever comment because I've never worked for a football club, but there should almost be the ownership, the leader, the manager. The manager is the leader. And then you've got his choice of leader on the pitch on that particular day, which is usually going to be Liam Cooper at the moment. Or if he's not available, it's Luke Ayling. There shouldn't be a group of them. And it's not a leadership group to me, Simon. It's almost like a group that we've been here longest. We're the popular boys. Do you know what I mean? You've got to try and be part of our group. Was it ever like that when you were there, do you think? Is it common within football? I don't know.
I wouldn't say it's common. I don't see it a lot. But when you've got players that feel that, I don't even understand how people feel like they've got that power to go and bypass a manager and go straight to the board. It makes no sense. But it just shows that the character of those people, and you know, ultimately, this is the result of that kind of thing. This is what happens. But I definitely think that was the catalyst to, because in his first season, I don't see too many complaints from players then. So I'm agitated. I'm a little bit pissed off, to be honest. And I don't normally get like this.
It's all right, but, sexy Simon. I like it when you're angry.
Has he started gritting his teeth? His jaw muscles flexing.
Biting his bottom lip when he's saying it.
Well, yeah, it's just not been a good year. And that first season, we should have been then kicking on. I'm not saying we should have been going challenging for Europe, but there's no way we should be fighting relegation on the back of the first season in the Premier League. You know, it just shouldn't happen like that.
No, and that goes back to the ownership and ultimately the way they've invested and where they've run the club, I suppose. But I mean, I'll hold my hands up. You know, I thought this summer I was excited. I thought we'd sign well, and then January, even when we spent the money on Router and McKennie coming in, I was relatively excited. Like I won't lie, I thought we'd done decent business, and I thought bringing in Router, who had arguably really good, honestly didn't know much about him, Weston McKennie playing Champions League football, and then at the best of the three has been fucking Warburg. Nobody had a clue who he was.
I were unbelievably excited for McKennie. I'm sure, and I know you guys were as well. I was absolutely buzzing. I could not believe that we managed to bag that, and then it's just been, you know, no offence to the guy, but it's just been an absolute wet fart, hasn't he?
Yeah. So there's a comment coming here. Top six clubs work so well because the manager has the final say. Don't like it, you get benched. And I think, you know, you look at Klopp, and he's had a tough season, but has he really been in a situation where he expected to get the elbow? You look at Pep, what he says goes. The absolute same is at the Scum. You know, he's in charge, and he's say, and that's that. I think Arsenal had a ropey time pre this season, stuck by the manager. And I think, yeah, nobody knows what happens between Bielsa sacking and the end of the season if Bielsa's not sacked. We can't say that. I think now we find ourselves in this position, and you can't turn back the clock. Now you find ourselves in this position. So obviously the bad choice, because it was the fact that we didn't build on that ninth position that Simon just mentioned, and we didn't, you know, when we finished ninth, wasn't that the season we went out and bought
Dan James and Junior Firpo?
Yeah,
what a pair of signings they turned out to be.
Well, but even if they turn out to be good signings at that time, that squad needed at least five or six quality players to come in. So even if Bielsa's saying those two players are real key players, we want these players, there's still more and more that needs to happen on that. And the fact that we didn't do that, even more frustrating, the fact that then we've spent loads of money the following season, is if you'd have just spent that money for Bielsa, we'd be fine.
Yeah.
By signing maybe, the left-back situation is a bit cloudy, but a central midfielder, how long were we all crying out for a central midfielder and a proper backup striker to Patrick Bamford? How many seasons?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, in fairness, yeah.
Unforgivable, really.
Again, I was very much banging the drum of, I think we've got enough quality in cover, and the players just simply haven't delivered. The players that I expected to stand up and be counted at difficult times of the season, in difficult games, they've not wanted it. They've just not wanted it. We said earlier, Simon, you're probably listening, that we've dropped 25 points from winning positions in a season. It's not fucking good enough.
Nah, that's scary. I
that puts us alongside Brentford. If we just have those points that we've lost from winning position, that puts us top half of the table.
We're not affiliated with LUFC data in any way, but I did see an interesting tweet. Leeds Premier League record since the start of last season. Games 75, won 16, drawn 21, lost 38, scored 89, conceded 153, points won 69, goal difference minus 64. So conceded 3-plus goals in a game 23 times, conceded 4-plus goals in a game 13 times, conceded 5-plus goals in a game 6 times. Head coaches, caretakers, 5. Points from winning positions lost 44. Leeds have won 21% of our Premier League matches. Leeds have lost 51% of our Premier League matches. It goes on. Yeah. But it just highlights, I mean, just wow. I wanted to throw my fucking phone in a river when I read that.
And we absolutely deserve relegation. We deserve relegation. Now, when I say we, I mean the playing staff and the club hierarchy deserve.
Not the fans who travel the country.
Yeah, the fans
week
don't deserve. Yeah, of course they don't. No.
There's been a lot of criticism and you know the stupidity of saying. It's impossible. I want no more heart issues. It's impossible that we'll be in a relegation fight and all that sort of bullshit. It's so egotistical and so naive that you're thinking, just so what bad, are you playing at? And it was immediately bad. We all saw that
so
and went,
bad. So
oh,
bad.
What have you done?
I remember,
that for?
Yeah, I think we all talked about it in our little WhatsApp group. We all went, what on earth? I mean, as far as karma goes, and you know, that whole bad luck, good luck thing, we don't have any at Leeds. And as soon as he said that, we were all like, well, that might as well be us relegated this season then. That's that. Cheers. Thanks
which was all. Worse, that? Which was worse, that or the Adam Forshaw tweet?
Oh, the Forshaw tweet, I think, is probably edged.
I think the impossible was worse. Just purely on the principle that the ego that takes, you know, you can think, well, he's just trying to take some heat off himself with the Forshaw thing. And even there might even be a little bit of him trying to build a player up and try and gain some. But the impossible relegation piece is just truly just moronic. Well, so is that.
Gilly all just right, said the word stupidness.
I didn't realize Gilly had a burner account.
Yeah, no, look, I think you're right. It's been a shit show top to bottom. I mean, in fact, you could probably throw the last two seasons under that category.
Yeah.
Whilst the board are to blame, I think they did what they could to try and change things around. You only got to look at the January we had, and they've thrown money at January. Hindsight, it hasn't worked. The players that we've signed haven't turned up. You've got that fucking idiot on Twitter whose mate's a fucking bellend going on about
name and shame.
Going on about how great Weston McKennie's future and his
oh, right, yeah.
how great his future and his career is going to be when he leaves like, Leeds and goes back. He goes like back Eisenberg to Juve, have just been deducted bad. 10 points.
Say his name.
Just on that, even
Diego.
Even the money that we're spending and the Ruta situation and whatever else, even if he's a player that's got a big future, you cannot expect him to come in having scored, what, 2 goals in 15 Bundesliga games in first half of this season. You cannot expect a child to come into a relegation battle in a complete different country, under a complete different management structure, in a completely new club and league, and expect them to succeed. It's just, so to spend that 35 million... when you've got, I mean, I know that he's not had a great goal return, but he's somebody that you can rely on. I mean, you know, he played well against us at the weekend. Ings moved for next to nothing. It was less than a quarter of the Ruta fee. Now, he's played several games and he's played okay in them. He's not scoring a lot of goals, but he's somebody that can occupy defence and he's somebody that you can look to when you need somebody senior up front to go and take some responsibility for it and whatever else, which you just... Can you do that with it? What's Ruta 20, 21? It's just unrealistic to expect him to come in and have that level of impact and to saddle him with the pressure of the amount of money that's been spent on him. When we all spoke about the way that Rodrigo might be struggling with the price tag that he'd had. I mean, he came in as Spain's number 9 at, what, 27, 28 years old? Yeah. I mean, I've called him a child. I didn't mean to denigrate him in that. But it's just completely unrealistic.
With hindsight, did we ever expect him to kind of fulfill that sort of role, though, where he'd nudge Bamford out of the way?
I did. I mean, I'll not fucking lie.
I know, but I'm saying with hindsight, you know, it probably were never going to happen because we all know how much Arteta loved a little project and a little, you know, he's for the future sort of thing.
But the record
bolstering our squad
not,
now, we need players now. You know, that's what I'm saying, though. But that is kind of the way he's just fucking off his tits, wasn't he? You never used to think of the now. We were always down the line, and it was like
trying to be too clever with
now. Of course, you were.
How much would do you think that weighed on him, Simon? His price tag as a young lad coming into a club the size of Leeds and the position we were in and the position we are in. Other than the obvious, I mean, what how do you think it made him feel? And how, especially now he's not playing.
Yeah, I think first, I think Gilly hit the nail on the head with that, to be fair. I think the expectations are just so unrealistic, it's unbelievable. You have seasoned pros that come to the Premier League and can't hit the ground running, so to expect somebody... It's going to be totally alien to anything that he's ever experienced before. The Premier League is just totally different. I mean, in your head, you think you can go and do it. And I say this to my academy group all the time. I thought I was ready, but when I actually got on the pitch and I was making my debut, and I felt how strong these guys were and how quick they were and how quick they thought. It's just, you're just not ready. So, you know, for people to expect him to come in and be the saviour, so to speak, it was just never going to happen. And again, what Smarty says, we needed to get somebody that's had the experience of playing, played a few games in the Premier League, scored a few goals. So, you know, put Bamford under a bit of pressure. And, you know, there's no way that kid should be our number nine at this point. It's just, honestly, it's mind-boggling. And it's just really frustrating.
Have you seen enough of him to think that he's got the potential to be worth that price tag?
I don't want to sound overly harsh because I haven't seen loads of him, but from what I have seen, his first touch looks to be way off it for the level. I don't think his speed of thought is. I just don't really see. I just don't really see £35 million worth of player. I just don't see it.
Nah, I mean,
South is
35
in the comments,
million.
Simon, can you still pass a decent ball if so you're in the team?
I've got a question for you, Simon.
If none of you, you should look Simon up on Instagram. He puts little videos of himself training every now and again and training.
He scores a belter, doesn't he? And it goes straight
some, nice, some nice little videos. It's good.
I don't show the 30 previous to that.
Yeah.
Where do you get shirt from, Simon?
Say it again. Oh, this is one of the old
ones. I'm kidding. but we have actually had another question from Saudi. Gilly, where's your bucket hat from?
Now this is from in fact, I've shaved my head, so I don't mind not having my hat on. From a company called Rennie. You know, it's really...
Do they do stomach acid stuff?
No, it's not. It's the drummer from the Stone Roses. So that's
is
where it
his,
came from.
Is it his brand?
I don't think it's his brand. I just think it's named after him.
Right. Okay, don't. Couple more comments to fly through quickly before we continue. Skip says, that vest, I'm assuming it means mine, not Jay's, reminds me of Looney Tunes. I don't know why, since it says Tunes.
Four-framed Roger Rabbit? I've not seen that version.
I think that's a blue version, isn't it?
Not a porn parody. Yeah.
You've got to go through the black curtain to get that video.
Next comment. Rad has come off Twitter. What do we make of this then? He's taken Leeds United off his Twitter. Yeah. He's left the part of Elland Road, the 70% of Elland Road in his header that he owns. But he's come off. He's taken the LUFC part out of his Twitter header this evening. It's been noise.
He's abandoned ship on it, down tools and buggered off. What? Just briefly on the Rads thing. Gilly, you may be able to answer this because I don't actually know. And you're the one who probably speaks more sense on here. What are the legalities of owning two clubs? Can you part-own two clubs at the same time, or does it have to be one or the other?
No, you can, but it's dependent on certain levels of separation between businesses. So the same business wouldn't be able to own the same in the same structure. But
if you're in the same competition in Europe as well, isn't it?
That's what I mean. In terms of the league structures, I mean, you wouldn't be able to have the same ones in the league structure. So if they were
you wouldn't be able to do like
Europe
two Champions League
else.
Teams.
You can. there is some precedent set. So unless they've changed the rules, which is entirely possible,
Don't Red Bull own Salzburg and Leipzig, though?
They do, but I think the different companies that own them. And there's enough separation in the company. So although they're the same brand, they are different parent companies that own them as shareholders.
That's right. Okay. Okay.
Okay. It's a lesson learned for us all.
There's a lesson learned. Right. There's been a lot of talk about the new director of football. Should we go down? And I think the biggest rumour surrounding is a Stuart Webber who's currently at Norwich. Now,
he's a Leeds fan.
Yeah, I understand that Norwich can't wait to get rid of him. There's been a couple of comments here from Danny
about our Victor, didn't he?
So Danny Wright and there's been a couple of at each other.
So that Stuart's Danny said he hopes he is experience taking teams up, crucial experience too of Norwich coming down. And he had two promotions at Norwich and one at Huddersfield, says otherwise. That was in response to a message I forgot to star about him, about Norwich hating him. And I think it was Bully said he spent 20 million on Sargent. So, look, we're always, whoever we sign, whether it's a manager, whether it's a player, whether it's a director of football, there's always going to be two arguments to every side. And you're always going to get conflict of information and conflict of, you know, who thinks good of him, who thinks bad of him and everything. But I think the biggest thing for me is who's going to be picking this director of football, because it depends who's owning it at the time.
It does. I think to touch on the Weber piece, and I've seen some of the to in and fro in. I think given what Middlesbrough thought of Orta and how they were laughing at us when Orta came into the board, the fact that Norwich fans have openly said that's the last thing you want, and do you know what, I'll drive him to you if you want him, and things like that on social media, in itself makes me think, do we really want to go through this again? But ultimately, the only director of football you're going to get is somebody out of a job or somebody that's gettable from a job they're in. You're not going to be able to go and pick the cream, especially in the position that we're in.
Is gettable a word?
He's now.
He's the only one who speaks any sense on here, remember him down there.
He's in the OKB dictionary.
Him down there. We say this what guy. We want. I don't know enough about the world of directors of footballs to even suggest anybody who might be good for us, who's available or anything like that. I actually don't give a fuck, as long as they come in and buy some good players.
Yeah, the answer to the question is yes, it is a word.
Nice.
He just googled it.
It is. Yeah. Oh, Jonathan Brooks in the comments saying it is Jonathan, as well.
Thanks, Carol. she does the numbers, doesn't she? It's Rachel. No, Rachel does the numbers as well. What's the
another? What's her name? The name bowels and shit.
What's the lady off Countdown called? The with the glasses.
Oh, Dictionary Corner woman.
Susie.
Yeah. Oh, Susie.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well done.
Well done, Simon.
I'm glad
you're here.
Who's he Dent? Yeah, it's because he's doesn't have a proper job, is he? He gets to watch
he's watching Bruce's Big Deal or whatever it is, Dickinson's Big Deal, and chuffing loose women and that him on a morning. Didn't rock up till after lunch.
What do you make of this then? I think this is probably a good one for Simon. Do you think we've held on to some of the players who were promoted with us too long? Or do you think it was a necessity? Yes.
Probably, you know, I think sometimes you have to be a little bit more ruthless in those situations. I get that it's difficult because obviously when a group of players get you promoted, there's that emotional attachment there, which is natural. So I understand it, but I'm going to blame my own trumpet. Well, it's only from League 2 to League 1. When we got promoted with Hereford to League 1, that's when we played Leeds, actually. The manager, Graham Turner, he got rid of like quite a few players, and we was all like a little bit shocked by it because, you know, we'd all played a decent role, but he just obviously thought, well, they were good enough to get us promoted, but they're not quite good enough for the next level. So
yeah,
we probably could have been a bit more ruthless in that situation. Yeah.
Do you think Wrexham that have done the same?
Wrexham have just done the same. The release list is fucking massive.
It is, but what they did do was they moved really quickly to keep the ones that they wanted to keep.
Yeah,
and get the contracts.
Still, what I'm saying is like the release list is huge, you know.
Yeah, but they've made it really clear on, right, you're in and you're not. They've made it really, really clear. And the thing about that is they didn't know that they were the ones promoted until really late on in the season, and they had it already lined up. So whether that would have been the case, whether they were promoted or not, that's in the balance. We won't know. But what they did was they were really decisive. They made the decision and then they live and die by those decisions.
That's I think right.
I'm definitely guilty of looking back at the Bielsa time and the players that we had, and you know, rose tinted glasses and the rest. Definitely guilty of that, and you can't afford to do that as a director of football or when you're a board member. The one thing I would say is, I think we probably have. You know, you look at Click and the fact that his output wasn't what we've been seeing from him in previous seasons. Now, I think I would have kept him. Now, some of that might be that sentimentality piece, but some of that might be the.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The fact that in hindsight, we've got players that haven't had the impact that he could have had. I'd rather be seeing him coming on than Aronson, and in the situation that we were in, and I think he would offer more. But the other side to things is the recruitment's not been good enough to get rid of some of those players.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think good evening to Jer from the Leeds United View. How are we doing? Go follow Jer if you don't already. Cheers for joining.
Oh, podcast friends.
Can't hold on to sentiment too long. The Premier League eats you up.
I mean,
we can't really argue with that, can we? It has done, and just going back to that the players that we have held on to, they almost form that leadership group that we don't like talking about, don't they? Now, you know, the popular lads, the lads who have been here longer than the others. You know, you look at Forshaw, Bamford, Coops, Ayling. You know, this. I don't know. It just fucking.
There's all sorts of stuff to speak behind that, though, isn't there? I mean, when we got promoted, the passages of play and the way that Bielsa had us playing, you didn't need to be the best team in the world. As long as you could do your job and do your job well, you know, the intricate passing, the passages of play, the directions, everything that he taught them to do, you need to stand at A, you need to stand at B. We got away with it. It wasn't until we started losing half of a squad and having to replace them with kids that we started getting found out, the whole man-marking thing. That's when your quality comes into it. And once the confidence were on its ass, the team nosedived, and obviously, you know, bye-bye Bielsa. But if he'd have been properly supported and given, you know, some better players than what he already had, get rid of the whole sentiment, like a few of you have already said. Get rid of the players, you know, take it on the chin. Look, thanks for your efforts, thanks for getting us promoted, but we need better going. We need more quality going forward. I guarantee, and I will die on this hill, I guarantee if they'd have backed Bielsa with more quality players, we would not be where we are now. Or certainly not last year, anyway.
No, I think you're right. But hindsight's wonderful, isn't it? You know, we were only going midway at the time.
It is, but Bielsa's prediction, I'm just going to pop up the comment from Skip. Bielsa's prediction was that these players wouldn't be able to do it beyond that period.
Now in year five with some of them.
Yeah. So Bielsa was really open about saying these players can only go again so many times. And, you know, the 3 years is where we'll be able to get the optimum from the group of players that we've got. So, yeah.
And he said either himself needs to go, didn't he? He said himself, or you need new players. And we decided to get Dan James and Junior
Firpo. We only paid three times what we initially offered to pay for fucking Dan James anyway.
and then sent him out.
And that was a lot of Fulham. So just on, actually, just what I want to touch on quickly is we're talking about sentiment and holding on to players. How many of those sentimental players now, this is going to sound really fucking backward, now we're going back to the Championship and they've been there and done it and got promoted from the Championship. How many of those do we keep hold of, realistically? Or should we keep hold of?
Well, that's
a good question. Now then. You got the experience.
Go on, Gilly.
You want me to go? I think if we just kind of touch on the points that we just made, is what you need to do is not look at the output and the capability that those players have had, but those players have now. And I think that there's a real strong case to say that the squad's just been mismanaged for the last 15 months or whatever else. And you know, you could say even, I'm not saying a bad word about him, but towards the end with the amount of injuries that we had, reflecting on the training methods, is that how Marsh was able to get away with saying, you know, the training's all wrong because of the amount of injuries that those players were getting. Bielsa had predicted that those players wouldn't be able to keep up that level of optimal output. So you can see some of that. How many of those players will be able to go again, and not just go again in a 44 or 46 game season just in the league, and then you've got your cups and you've got... How many of them will be able to go again? I think if you look at the playing squad, Bamford is made a biscuit. I think in terms of the effort that he puts in, his effort level might be able to get him there, but can his body keep up? I don't think he would be somebody that I'd be looking to start many games in the Premier League if we'd have survived. But in the Championship, his capability level should be okay there, but his physiology just won't carry him there. Rodrigo's going to be 33. And again, there's been question marks. You know, he spent a couple of periods during this season out injured. Is he going to be able to physically cope with the physical demands? Not the running, not the pressing, not the pressure, but the physicality of the defenders he's going to be playing against that know that they can't cope with him if he gets the ball into his feet and he's just going to be getting elbows and kick left and right. So you look at those players like that and you think, have they got the physiology and the mentality to go again for a big, long Championship season? And I think for a lot of them, the answer is no.
46-game season. The struggle with 37.
Yeah.
Hey, I know the intensity is a lot.
Yeah. Those that got tickets. Hey, not that bad.
Cheers, mate.
What are you spending your 10% on?
You won't be seeing that.
No. You'll be seeing that off your 2025 season ticket. Yeah, that's what you'll be seeing.
Yeah, and only if you buy a 10-year one or something stupid for like 25 grand. Look, I agree. I think if ever there is a time to revamp, it's this is the time. You know, we've got an aging squad. We've got some what?
I'm just seeing coleslaw on toast comment, and it's fucking
not one. Sent the chill down my back.
Is Costa coming back?
He's still on the contract.
I thought Alati had signed him or whatever they were called.
Dan James. It's Dan James, I think, will perform in that league.
Dan James will probably pick him up because all he is a speed merchant, and that scares defenders at a Championship level.
Yeah, I think. But Costa and Roberts, Christ, biscuit knee Roberts. I guarantee he'll be injured as soon as he gets back into frigging training. That's an absolute given, isn't it?
How's he? Him he's already he's injured again, isn't he? He came biscuit back from boy, QPR, yes. Didn't he? Injured, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That's what we are now. Fox's biscuits is down. We are a team of fucking biscuits, aren't we? Different sizes and shapes and brands. Just a box of biscuits. Just get rid of them all. Take them to Rainbow Bridge.
Send them to Doggy Heaven. As I said a minute ago, I don't think there's going to be a better opportunity with a takeover, with Rad selling, to start fucking some of these players off and tell them, look, there's no future here for you, unfortunately. And then they'll probably go win the Champions League with somebody else. It's how I look at it. You know, we'll get rid of Mark Rocco and he'll go like as backup at Real Madrid and get four performances. And
Llorente might get a Europa medal.
I know. Llorente, our worst centre back, might end up with a Europa League medal.
We still got Cock and Cooper.
Hey, look, who's got
dogs are scrapping.
Look at Simon.
Am I okay to?
You're all right, mate.
The Wolves team ready.
Put your hand up and ask nicely.
Make sure you turn your camera off. You don't want to see your wife walking past in a dressing gown or all like that.
He's funny. I'll just mute you for a sec, Si. Am I all right to go?
I'm surprised he didn't put his hand up.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
He's gone. He's gone. He's had an hard word from Mrs.
Stop talking about football. It's Simon, a Tuesday.
He's ready. Simon, kids need baffing. You're fucking doing me a din. You've done fuck all night.
Wow, come on, what? Your bloody dog.
Bless him. It's been so long since he's been on.
Yeah, I know, it's nice, but it's good to see him. Looking really well as well, isn't he? He's a married man.
Yeah, isn't he? Yeah.
Because I think he's been married since he last been
took
on, hasn't he?
Took the plunge, didn't he?
He got married. Has he been on since he got married?
It's been stalking him.
Me and Simon.
Me and Simon. Like Magnet and Steel.
Yeah. He uses more filters than me, though.
I don't know.
Fucking Captain Filter. I've got him saved on his phone.
Blue Steel.
Magnum.
So go back to the football. I mean, realistically, we've got to compare ourselves to recently relegated sides and look at who they've kept hold of and what assets they've sold and everything else. Is it unrealistic to suggest that we might keep hold of the majority of our talent?
So, I think go on, mate. You go first.
Well, I was trying to think of the players.
Oh, the players we wanted to keep. Sorry, I'll rephrase that, Gilly. Like to keep.
But I was thinking of the players that Burnley lost, and you think of their defence and the keeper and so on. They lost a lot of their playing staff. I think it is pretty remarkable what's been done there. Because they lost quite a lot. And I know some of them were out of contract. I think Tarkowski was out of contract altogether, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So I know that some of them were out of contract. But what they've done, having lost that number of players. Now, it remains to be seen as to whether they can carry that on into a Premier League season. And actually, if there's a change in their coaching, then you'd worry for them if you were a Burnley fan. But they lost quite a few of their players and still managed to turn it into a positive season. I mean, really positive. And they were getting lots of plaudits, and rightly so. They were playing good football.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, on the flip side of that, you've got to look at Villa, kept hold of Grealish. You know, pretty much single-handedly took him back up. You've got Wendia, went to Norwich and brought him back up on his own. I think he got 36 goals in the season.
Was Grealish that sought after, though, when they went down with
I think
with
he was, yeah.
Were he?
Yeah,
I think he was. Really? He was only really young, wasn't he?
He was, but he was their main man. But not only were he their main man, you know, it was before Dean Smith got hold of him, so he was highly thought of anyway. I mean, it was a really, really bad hairstyle that he had. I think he was. Some and jealousy. I think given his age and the fact that he was their main man, and it was quite clearly their main man, I think he was sought after. But, you know, we managed to keep hold of Calvin when Villa were in for him when we were in the Championship. So it's not that we don't have any precedent for it. I think it's a case of some of those players that we've had this season that have underperformed see themselves as Champions League players in other leagues.
I think one of the bonuses we've got, though, Gilly, is we'll be financially sound regardless of relegation, because we are, although we're run by idiots, we're financially...
It's not like 2004, is it?
No, it'll not be that bad. And we almost might be in a position to cherry-pick some of the good players from... Now, I'm a little bit cautious of this, but we might be in a position to cherry-pick some of the players that might not get promoted. However, I don't want to cherry pick players that aren't going to be good enough should we get promoted. We don't want to be picking players for one season or, you know, and then fight to stay up. So we need to cherry pick players and pick players that can do a job at a lower end of a Premiership as well as a top end of a Championship side, you know. I think we will. I think we'll get a season out of majority of them, you know. I think we'll be pleasantly surprised. I think we'll lose a few. I think Sinisterra, somebody like that, he'll go. I think. Oh, in fact, let me throw some
again,
names.
Look at his injury record.
Yeah.
So I don't think he could cope with the season in the Championship. Yeah, I really rate him. You know, we've been talking about who we wanted to see where, and throughout this season, I've been really keen to see Sinny played in at 10 because I think he could really do damage to some of our opponents. But he's just not had a long enough run of fitness.
He's got knees like me.
He's got knees.
They probably don't creak as badly as yours.
Right, let me throw some names out at you. I think might have the potential, or probably could be able to go to another Premier League. And tell me if you think there's any possibility we might stay hold of him. Tyler Adams.
No.
Just a yes or no.
No.
Max Warber.
Yeah,
maybe.
Sinisterra.
No.
Somerville.
No.
Yeah.
Nonto.
No.
You're not filling me with confidence here, lads.
Sorry, mate.
I think that's probably about the limit Harrison? Of the players that we...
I'd want to keep him, but I don't think he'll stay.
I mean, I'd love to keep them all. The ones that we've mentioned.
I wouldn't.
You know.
Oh, the ones I mentioned, yeah.
No, the ones we've mentioned, yeah, absolutely. But those are the... I mean, the thing is, we've got ego... The ego side of things as well. I'm not going to take Championship, and let's be honest. They've all got contracts. They've all got them sort of clauses in the contracts that allows them to be released. Should they want to? Should we be get relegated and that? So really, unless we can go in cap in hand and beg them to stay. I mean, what? I mean, Aronson. I've seen a lot of talk about Aronson and how he'll be able to perform, you know, a little bit better in the lower leagues because there's a lot more time on the ball and stuff, and this guy can find a dead end in the desert. I'm still not convinced.
He gets bullied in the Premier League. How's that going to go with the physicality of the Championship?
I know.
Well, you look at. I mean, we've used two examples there: Buendia and Grealish. They're both bullied in the Premier. They're kicked to bits in the Premier League.
I wouldn't say that they're people that get bullied. I think they deal with getting kicked pretty well.
Yeah, fair. I mean, it'll go
but
one way or the other.
Aronson does, that's my point.
I think
Matt Goodall's in comments and saying Aronson will get mauled. I don't think he'll get mauled. I think he'll be, you know, he'll be knocked down a peg or two, perhaps. But I think he will perform well.
I think he will do the world.
I genuinely think
he will
perform well. He'll get battered around a bit, absolutely, but he'll perform well. It won't be like, you know, like we've seen him in Premier League.
He'll have an extra second or two on the ball, which is what he needs at the minute. He's not good enough for the Premier League. He doesn't get enough time on the ball. And I think and with you, Smarty, I think we probably see the better end of Aronson. We've seen a couple of good games where he's played. I think Chelsea at home, he was outstanding. I think that's the best he's played for us when we beat him 3-0. I think that will do him the world of good. If he comes down with us, he might not. I mean,
I can't see based. I mean, you look at the based on performances and what potential clubs are going to be out there, you know, eyeing us up because we're basically a shop window at the minute. Not like Dale's supermarket sweep or anything, that sort of that extremity, but something along them lines. We'll be getting cherry picked here, there, and everywhere. It happens to every team that gets relegated, obviously. You know, you'd be naive to think otherwise. But I think it does. Like Aronson and a couple of players would, you know, potentially. I don't think they've got that much of a sell-on value or are that attractive as a prospect for other teams. So I think that, you know, there's to a degree there might be some that we keep just because I don't think anyone wants them.
Yeah,
for there's also the outstanding balance that's on a player because if you've bought, I can't remember how much it was, but if you spent £24 million on Aronson and you've paid £6 million of that off. Is anybody really going to give you £18 million to just settle the balance for that player? Now, all right, yeah, you get the wage off the books as well. But to make money on a player that you still owe £18 million on, you need to sell them for more than £18 million. Now, those are figures I've just plucked out of the air. But there's an outstanding balance against most, if not all, of the players that will get sought after. Now, some of them will be easily wiped, like Willie Nonto. There'll be clubs knocking down our door to pay more than we pay for him.
Absolutely.
No problem at all. But nobody's going to pay £20 million plus for Aronson.
No, absolutely not. And that's the other question. Do we decide to take a loss on a player or do we... Look, they're contracted at the end of the day. These players can put in a transfer request. We don't have to accept that.
Well, it does depend on what
he's
saying.
There's a clause in the contract.
Obviously, and we'll never know the inside and outside of the clauses. No. But until they're up in the shop window and we say, Tyler Adams was brought in for this amount of money, but if we went down, we sell him for less than half or something stupid, fucking hell. But...
I think one player that I am confident of keeping and would be quite happy at keeping at the minute is Robles as a keeper. I think, you know, him in the Championship, I think he'll do quite well.
Yeah. Dick, I've still got the comment up there. Meslier, do we sell or keep him? Do you think?
He'll be going. I think he's part of the ones that have expressed their desire to leave the club should we be relegated.
Have
anyway.
They, though?
I don't know how much store you can set by that.
We're definitely going to know, but apparently it's been muted about all week, hasn't it? I mean, even Phil Hayes has been reporting that, saying that Meslier...
He's been muted?
You know, he's probably likely. Yeah, it's been muted around, yeah.
Muted.
It's
muted. Yeah, muted is a word, but it's not what you mean. Yeah,
right. If it was no, muted no, about it, it means nobody would be talking about
set
it.
Set of twats. Yeah. Just get on with
it's
it.
Quite the opposite, actually. yeah, look, it's an interesting time. And I mean, I'm always excited about Leeds United, aren't I? But I am actually, once we know and once, you know, what's going to happen, we can almost set and prepare ourselves mentally for another season, can't we? Do you know what I mean? It's almost... I'd be excited if we went down just to look at the transfer window, just see what new players we'll be bringing in or what players we can keep hold of and all that sort of thing again.
When that final whistle blows on fucking Sunday, I'm washed of football. Absolutely don't want to watch it, don't want to listen to it. I'll speak to you guys, but I am done for a while because I cannot wait for this season to be over and done with.
No, this season I can't wait.
Yeah, but
this is almost what
I want to think. The concept of next season in the Championship, I want to fucking have
I'm
a
just
bath
mention
of fucking petrol in a toaster.
Save this for the end, Smarty.
it's not a rant. Skip's it's just
nailed it.
How I am.
Skip's nailed it. How you sum up how we all feel about it, Skip's nailed it. Bring on Keith Andrews and Don Goldman.
Oh, oh no.
Jesus Christ. I didn't even think
I forgot
him.
About them bastards.
Sideshow knob.
Fucking on a Tuesday Keith night.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Even worse refs than we've had this season.
No VAR, though.
Yeah, but no VAR. Silver linings. Yeah. Silver linings.
Yeah, but you know that's not going to go in our favour. Just because VAR hasn't doesn't mean that next season it's gone.
I wonder if we can go another 50-plus games
higher
without a penalty.
Away attendance tickets, as Matt Goodall's reminded us there. We get as many tickets, loads of tickets. So you'll be able to get
But you won't do, though. You won't do, though, because there'll be still loads of people wanting to go and watch.
Well, not go and watch. There'll be people that will hedge their bets on us getting promoted next season and will buy away tickets and not go.
Oh. Yeah,
there's some positivity for you.
Plymouth away on a Tuesday night, buzzing.
And it will be, won't it?
Argyle. I mean, look, it's...
And Millwall.
It's good that we can be relatively cheery about the situation, innit? You know, if you don't laugh, you'd cry sort of thing, innit? But I suppose we better talk a little bit about the Spurs game, even though we don't really want to. Have we done any predictions even yet? Are we still on the intro here? What's going on?
Yeah, we're still
with an hour and 10 minutes in, and we've just about covered first bullet point that we normally cover. It's what happens when us three are on here. It's
like Carlos in when he asks one question. We're an hour and 10 minutes in.
No.
We'll fuck the predictions off. We'll do the predictions after the next game. But you know, we'll take some predictions. But we'll. Do you want to do them, Gilly?
No, you're fine.
Yeah,
Gilly's got enough points to be top of the league. That's all I know.
Oh yeah, he has.
Unlucky little fucking shithouse, Jay.
He's going to be devastated, isn't he? I'm going to have to go back and just see how many. It's like Arsenal's capitulation, isn't it? Top at season, top at league for 85% at season.
This is a good question. Here's a good question, and I don't know how you'll both feel about this. I have a certain feeling, and I'll see what you two say. Answer that, Smarty.
Do we clap off the fans after the Spurs game?
I think he means players.
Does he mean do the fans clap off the players?
Do the fans clap at the end of the game?
Do you know what?
Do they clap the players off?
I'm kind of hoping that we do lose on Sunday because... I absolutely 100% believe that Leicester will beat West Ham. Because they've got the final of their European, whatever the fuck it is, bloody Mickey
Everton
Mouse chuffing pie and peas cup.
Everton have beaten
Bournemouth. Everton will beat Bournemouth.
Bournemouth are not
Everton haven't beaten Bournemouth have beaten Everton every for the last four. Whoa, Jesus Christ.
But now it's important,
in Goodison on the last day of the season to end their time in the Premier League.
I'm still clinging on. Well, there's a will, there's a way for me.
I don't want to talk about your Klingons, mate.
I've already made my peace with going down, but there is still a minute percentage in me do you know
what we'll do really, Leeds? Is for both Leicester and Everton to win and us to beat Spurs, which will kind of take the edge off a little bit of me wanting to fucking fire into them, bastards.
So anyway, back to the original question. Do we clap them?
No, absolutely fucking not. No. No. No fucking chance. Why the fuck would I stand at the side of the pitch clapping a set of wankers who've just got me fucking club relegated?
So one of the when all of this was flying around before, one of the arguments I saw was I'm not really clapping the players. I'm joining in with my fellow fans that I see week in week out.
I've done that before, of course. When we're getting bummed at home, you know, I think I said something similar on Twitter. I join in with the crowd, absolutely. I'll sing for the team. But when the final whistle has gone and all them wankers are walking around giving the shirts to kids and, you know, doing the little, you know, side down by the side, can't even be asked to fucking bring their hands up clapping. I can't wait. It's going to be carnage. In fact, I might take some filmage.
The resident happy clapper, I bet you can't guess what I'm going to do.
You're going to get fucking stuck into them.
No, I'm not. I'm going to clap. No, look.
I'm going to throw you
bitter. Do you know why? And I'll tell you for why. Look, the You're players haven't performed them all season. Look, I'm not clapping the players. I'm clapping everybody around me. I'm clapping the club. And it's ups. You know, look, we sing about ups and downs 20 times a week. And if you cannot take it when we're shit, why should you enjoy the good times?
No, that's
I'm a firm that's a believer. Comment. I'm a firm believer in you know, fair weather support and that. Look, we've had two.
I will
shit
clap my fans. Our fans.
Hang on, is this Leeds fans or is this Orton Know Better fans that you're clapping?
Luckily, I've only ever met a couple of Orton Know Better fans. I don't do well with.
Well, you heard my story about.
I support the club. Let me just answer Bully. I support the club, not the players. For the players don't give a fuck about us. I support the club.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. But at the end of the day, when they're doing the little lap of honour, they are receiving plaudits and clappage from the fans. Now,
so you've just talked about wanting to retain some of the players. Are they going to want to stick around if they all get roundly booed, even the ones you want to keep?
They're getting paid, aren't they?
I'm playing devil's advocate. I've not said what I'm going to do yet.
It's a fair point.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet. If we get pumped, if we break the Premier League record and get pumped 10-0 with Harry Kane getting 8, dribbling up ball and it sliding into whatever else happens, then everybody's going to be pissed off anyway. But if we get a hard-fought draw or we pop to win against them or whatever else, and you can see the effort that's been put there, there's going to be a lot of people chanting. And I don't know how I'm going to feel about that at that point. I won't know until we get there.
It's a little too late. It's like, yeah, that's
great.
It's absolutely done for beating Spurs. But why didn't you beat any bastards that are around us at bottom of the table? Why didn't you beat Leicester?
But we've already lost.
Palace? Why didn't you beat fucking Bournemouth? I know, but not at that point. Why not show that fucking fight when we really needed it, when we were fucking fighting for his status as a Premier League club? Not against Harry Kane and his fucking silly mates.
But nobody's arguing with me. What I'm saying is, I've got no idea how I'm going to feel about that at the time.
No, I'm kind of with you a little bit there. I don't know how I feel. I would, like I say, if they did beat them, then it would take the edge off. But I can pretty much guarantee it'll be a bit of a hostile environment, regardless.
I don't think everyone's made the peace.
If we get relegated, mate, fucking come on, man.
Oh no, it will. It'll be.
Are you fucking joking? We've just been relegated to a Championship. You think we're all going to be like, oh, we're all in.
Well, after West Ham, I expected the same, but it wasn't. I was chatting to people. Everyone's already made the peace.
Oh no.
I would say away fans is worse.
We've all accepted the fact that we're probably 99% sure we're going to be relegated, but you're expecting, or you think that the fans in the fucking stadium are going to be clapping and really happy and like, oh, well, at least we give it the right good go.
Hang on a minute. I didn't ever say they were going to be happy. Steady on.
No, you didn't say they were going to be happy. That might have been a bit of a tongue-in-cheek comment, but you know what I mean? They're not going to be stood round throwing fucking bunting around and getting all, you know.
Absolutely not. But I think the argument I'm trying to make is, are we going to be there next year?
Well, I will be.
Is what you're saying it's going to fizzle out rather than be toxic?
Yes.
I think it'll still be quite toxic.
I just want to try and
sack a board chance and.
I just want to pick something up here and just address what you said, Luke, because I think I know what you were getting at. Because Bully said the club don't give a fuck, mate, and but when we're talking about the club, it's the It's the entity that is Leeds United. It's not the board. It's not the management structure. It's not them that have the privilege of being in charge of our club.
I was there before all of them. Yeah. I was there before. I was supported Leeds since before all the board, all the players have been there, and I'll support them long after. Do you know, that's my reason for clapping, and that's my reason for supporting the club. I don't support Rads. I don't support anybody particularly on the board. I don't support any of the management team or the coaches or the players. The players will all move on in our lifetimes. I don't give a fuck about that. The reason I'm going to clap is because I'll be there next season clapping them when they're good as well, when they're winning games.
Yeah,
you hope.
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we
are winning games.
Mid-season next term, we're absolutely dick to a bottom at Championship. You see Luke fucking join fucking Rocker because he's not been signed by anyone.
I'll not lie. Look, I'm not even angry anymore.
Rocker will be dynamite in the Championship, by the way.
Going down at Championship.
I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. Like, I'm past all that. You know, I'm past being upset and really upset and all that. Like, I've made my peace with it, as we keep saying. But how can you sit here or stand there? I mean, I understand people who will be booing won't be directed towards the club they love. I understand that.
I've always said I'll never boo my team.
Sorry, I've exaggerated slightly. The people who don't clap and the people who leave early and the people who try and make it, I understand their reason for doing it, and it's directed at individuals or a particular group of individuals. That's not directed at the club they love. The Leeds United will never leave them. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's where I'm getting at. And I completely understand and I appreciate whatever anybody wants to do. And I'm not going to try and encourage anybody to do one or the other, I don't suppose. No, it's entirely up to you how you deal with it.
Yeah, people will do what they feel, what they feel is right in the moment, won't they? You know,
rationally, there'll be a lot of
emotionally. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I could vent anything, it'd be towards the board. Unfortunately, that shithouse won't be there, Victor Orta. His escape, his mates saved him, really.
I don't think Rads shows up.
I'm talking about Orta.
Orta won't be there. Rads, I've been sacked.
No, that's what I'm saying. Rads is saved.
Sorry.
You know, I would have loved to, you know.
But I also don't think Rads is going to turn up at the end of the season.
Rads won't be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if we manage to keep hold of him, I think Rocker would play very well in the Championship. I think he'd be a good player for them.
Yeah.
I said as much earlier, I put a tweet out saying Rocker would look good in a better team, either in a better tide or in a slower league or a league below that we're in because he'll have that.
Rocker will look good with worse opposition.
Yeah.
No, with more time on ball.
More time on the
worse
ball.
Opposition.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you could put somebody like Rocker in a City team and he'd look all right, I think.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But even in Spain, because he were in sides that were playing well, when he went to Bayern, he didn't get much time, did he? But when he's played in sides that have dominated possession and looked good. Well, we set ourselves up not to have the ball, so he didn't look good.
No. Expected to defend for 70 minutes a game when he's a ball-playing midfielder. You know, he's a playmaker, deep line playmaker, whatever you want to call it. He's not a player, and ultimately he's been asked to defend for 70-75%. There's lots of arguments for players who might improve and be better, and might, you know, we've only got to look at the youth we've got coming through that we can be excited about, because that will be their level next season. You know, your Sonny Perkins, your Matteo Josephs, who else we got? Bate coming back, Drama, Rutter. And this would be a real opportunity to understand how good these players can be. Because if they're as good as we think they are, or Hjelder, the club thinks they are, then the Championship would be a good starting point as a, you know, other than 21s or where they've been on loan. And Hjelder, I don't know how he's done at Rotherham, actually. I think he's done all right, though.
I mean, you don't just want to field a team of youth because we know what that's going to happen.
What I'm saying is...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like you say, some odd appearances, Drama, I think, will do really well.
I think that's his level.
I think that's where he wants to be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think Drama slots straight in there for me.
But I wouldn't have kept him on if we'd have done the right thing and been a Premiership side next season. I wouldn't have been looking to keep him.
No. I don't think he'd have wanted to stay anyway,
but
would he?
But Luton want him, and they look like they're going to be in.
He's available for a pretty
Pretty isn't it mad that Luton or Coventry will be playing Premier League football next season, but we won't?
And one of them might well bully us for one of our players.
Yeah.
That's how big a deal it is being in the league.
See what Bullies said. Bullies commented saying, Gillian Smarty could both die and Luke would find the positives.
Oh, I'd certainly find some positives. Don't you worry. Right, shall we get into a little bit about Spurs? What do we expect? Do we got to go for it? We've got to go for it, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got to go for it, yeah.
I mean, on the off chance that a miracle happens, we have to be in the right position, don't we?
Yeah. And I think that's enough on the Spurs game.
Yes.
So, shall we take some predictions for that Spurs game?
Well, we can't. We need Jay first.
I fuck Jay.
Yeah, but Jay's not, you're top now. Not top of league. You're top of league.
Otter, no better predictions.
Give it away.
Sorry. Go on, Gilly.
Fucking hell, they've started. We're absolutely dog shit. We're getting relegated. But I've already seen comments like this. I mean, bless Carl.
Go on, Carl.
Oh. Head over heart, heart over head.
Just be honest. Don't turn into Jay now that you are.
No, we're not. I can't see us getting a win. I'm hoping that we get a draw and we put in half decent performance. I think that's as good as we can hope for.
Who's highest out of me and Smarty?
You by mile.
Oh, you by a fucking long bit.
I know. I just wanted to hear it.
Smarty's second bottom, just above Lou on minus 19 points.
I'm going to go for, listen to this, I'm going to go for 4-1 win and we stay up. Oh!
You also went for a Paddy hat trick last week.
Did I?
I mean,
you went for one Paddy goal, but that was just as crazy.
They won't even give you odds on that. They just laugh at you.
They'd be too long for them to offer the odds.
Yeah.
So you've gone you've gone 4-1.
4-1 leads.
It's
a fucking game I don't care about anymore. The season's over.
I know. But 4-1 Spurs. I'll just counter.
Trying to get himself up off that bottom and he's right towards the end.
There's no up. I don't know what I actually am in the stand. I know I'm second, but I don't think I'm that many points off the people that are in just above me.
You're 1 point behind Sai, who's on minus three.
Yeah. What did I get? Am I minus four? Yeah. Since when? I was on minus one the week before last. Not that it matters.
You got minus three for Newcastle.
Well, there you go.
You went 3-1 Newcastle, minus three because we got a draw.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, bastard.
I'll give Jays for him.
Don't you be questioning my spreadsheet.
No, I would never dream. Jay will go 4-1 Leeds.
Spurs beat Leeds. Ah, Richo, fucking hell, mate. You've been in here every week saying you're going down. Now you're coming in giving it big un.
Fucking hell. See, I told you.
I think they do. I think Everton's
still. Everton. No, do you know what?
Who would you rather go down?
Everton. With fuck Everton.
Everton. And the reason that I'm saying Everton is because although both Leicester and Everton would be screwed if they went down, I think Everton's capitulation would be so catastrophic that there wouldn't be a threat.
No, it's not that. It's they just survived it last year, so they damn right deserve to go down with us this year.
Like us.
We survived it. They survived it. You can come down with us. We'll grab all of them, pull them down. I don't know. The whole Everton versus Bournemouth game, my money's on Leicester beating West Ham, if I'm honest. So I think Leicester might just pip it because I think they had a good team on the day, Leicester. You know, I don't think I've ever seen a decent performance from Everton apart from when they fucking beat us. That chuffy.
But what it right that what you said, Luke? Because I was done with football for the. I didn't even check. But were it right what you said about Barnes and Maddison didn't play?
Didn't start last night.
Because I think if they don't have them, then I don't think they get past West Ham.
But they came on. You know,
West Ham, we don't know, in terms of the approach that they're taking that game, it's anybody's guess as to who they'll field. It was a real surprise that they fielded such a strong side against us, really. Yeah, I didn't expect Rice to play, and I think if Rice doesn't play, that's a different game. He bossed that game.
What's Brolin
win, draw,
on about
or lose,
in
Luke's out on the booze.
Brolin says, already given mine, lads. No idea.
I didn't see it.
To do it again, Jay, you little
bastard. Maybe. Oh, no, he said it there. 4-0.
Where is he? I told him 4-1, I went far off.
You on?
I hope that comes in, Jay, and we stay up and we can go like this to all these fuckers.
Yeah.
4-1. It's not going to happen, but yeah, we'll never... No. never.
I'll take it. He can have the predictions league if it means we stay up. I don't mind.
I cashed my bet out, by the way, the other day, just on the off chance. Just on the off chance. I got 315 quid back, so I'll get everyone
tell
a
you what.
On Saturday. Not everybody who's listening. Not everybody who's listening, 110 people.
Yeah. Do you think it's your fault that we've got to this point now because you placed that bet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's certain element to that.
Yeah. It was also my fault that we conceded 4 shit goals against Crystal Palace at home as well. 5, sorry. Was
I reckon,
it? Five,
right? One? If we do stay up, we all come on in Jay's black vests.
I've already promised, and you can get this live now. If we stay up, I will run on the pitch and I will penguin dive.
That's
into,
not a good idea.
I thought it were going to be a tattoo.
No, tattoos. In fact, fuck it, I'll get Sam Allardyce's name somewhere on my body. If we stay up.
But the thing about the penguin dive, which I think sounds really, really
I might
funny,
get banned, might I?
Is, you are going to lose your season.
Definitely,
ticket. 100%. You will almost certainly get banned.
What happens if loads of people go on the pitch? Surely we won't. It's a bit tin pot, isn't it, if we do stay up. But it would be a miracle.
Fucking hell.
I think if there's a last minute, the crowd are going to know. So I've got a 5G phone, but I never get any signal. But somebody's going to know in that crowd. We are going to know what position we're in. If there's any chance that Everton lose, Leicester lose, and we win, if there's any chance that that's happening, we're going to know about it. And that's if there's a late goal in our game, that means
there's going to be pockets of people celebrating.
People are
anyway,
on the pitch. People are on the pitch.
Yeah, at me, I'm on the pitch.
It's happening. People are on the pitch. If that,
it's not going to happen. Stop getting me excited.
It's not going to happen. That's why I'm saying it.
What does Michael got on about here? Transfer Luke? Does that mean get rid of me? Twat.
Just Joe's coming for an undisclosed fee.
is that what he meant?
I don't know. Anyway, look at the comments to see if there were any other Lukes. I don't think there is. He's just pinned you off.
Luke, get a Jesse tattoo if we stay up, more like, yeah. Oh dear.
Nah, I will get. That's what I said I'd get. Big spam on a tin of spam. Yeah. Big spam, a tin of spam with the words big spam.
I don't know how you've managed to get this, Shelley, from the. Shelley's said, please don't start giving me hope again. I don't know how you've managed to get that from this show.
We've all said none of it's happening.
It's not happening.
Hang on. I starred a fan's prediction. It was the first fan's prediction, and somebody's
unstarred it. It was 3-1. It was me.
Who would it buy?
Carl. Carl McMichael. 3-1 leads.
Carl McMichael.
Yes. Decapitator's tattoo.
Nice. So we're all staying up and we're all happy with it, yeah? Sound?
Yeah.
Southie put 3-1 as well. But probably to Everton. We're not even playing Everton, so fuck knows why I put that.
No, I think it might. I think it was Southie that were first.
Was it
3-1? Oh, fucking hell. No, hopefully not.
Is it right, Roger, to be put? I'd take it.
I'd rather have Nuno if I had to pick out.
I've not seen Nuno linked. But everybody's talking Potter. Everybody's talking Rodgers.
Yeah. Fucking nonsense.
Nuno, Rodgers, Potter. We could do worse than any of them.
Yeah. And you never know now. We probably know that it's not going to be some douchebag that's in, fourth division at Hull, the Dutch league or whatever. Now that Orton's
absolutely
gone,
not it's... Skip. Nope. No.
It's already been referred to as United Luke for half of this season. Yeah.
No, that was last season, wasn't it?
No, well, last season.
It's carried on into the season, didn't it? It's only just gone away and then I brought it back.
One guy called me when I was arguing on Twitter and then fucking blocked me, the twat.
didn't somebody call you it on a match day when you were on away day as well?
Yeah, Leicester away. They winked at me when he said it. I was at bar, I said, sorry, mate. He went, no, we're United Luke.
Shit house. That's ace. I love that. I would. I would not take Stevie G.
Absolutely not.
It's just a glorified. He's just similar to bloody Frank Lampard, isn't he?
He is. I said that on Twitter yesterday. He is just living on past glories. That's all it is.
No.
Oh, has anybody got a fucking bitter to do tonight?
Yes, Marty.
No, I've pretty much just, you know, I've relieved myself of any bitterness over the, you know, the an hour and a 30 minutes that we've been on here. So, yes, no, I've alleviated myself of any bitter.
Have you?
Luke, what, yeah, what's
clean
this
that up
about?
Before Mrs. sees.
Luke takes Marty out for lunch to a place. What, for what?
Is that if we stay
I'm,
up,
I'm all for it. I'm absolutely all
Is
for
it.
It's
his birthday? What's going on?
No, not for another 6 months.
I'm all for it. It slightly differently now in that. Would you take Benitez from behind?
Yeah. It's got to that point of the night where
stuff is
really
about to start, isn't it?
It's all going
Rubber Julie's not
green.
Been mentioned yet. We tend no, to get Rubber Julie mentioned in comments.
Told Julie's not been on.
Yeah, I think we've probably said enough in the last 90 minutes. Just think, yes. In that time we've been speaking, we might have seen Leeds be relegated on Sunday, or we might have seen Leeds stay up miraculously.
It's not happening.
No.
Oh, with my winnings. Absolutely not. He's tight. He squeaks when he walks, does that bastard.
Tighter than a submarine.
I've been to his house twice.
Why did he be on Smarty Towers?
I've been to his house twice. I've not even been offered a brew. Not
give a dollar bang.
You're Southerner now. You're not even worthy of a Yorkshire tea bag.
PG tips. I ain't got any Yorkshire tea. I've only got PG tips. You can't come in.
I don't want to embarrass myself.
Right then, I think that's a nut. That's a wrap, guys. Unless you've got anything else.
A nut wrap.
That's
a nut. That's a nut wrap.
That's a nut wrap. That's
a nut wrap, lads.
Really?
Oh, drop of a jazzles as well.
Enough. And you changed it to that's a wrap. That's a nut wrap.
What was that's enough wrap. I don't know.
That's a wrap. Oh, that's enough.
Anyway, everybody, thank you. Thank you for joining us. There probably won't be a BNC after the Spurs game unless we miraculously do the unthinkable and we'll do it from a pub absolutely off our tits.
Yes.
And
it's the only eventuality. Yeah.
Outside of
other than that,
probably.
Yeah. Other than that, we've just got probably next week or maybe in a couple of weeks' time, we'll do a bit of a season, not a review, but just a bit of a thank you to everybody who watches and talk about what we can potentially look forward to in the new season. So, thanks ever so much, everybody. Busy one tonight. I think we've got quite a fair few, so please do hit like if you have watched it or if you're watching it back.
Please subscribe to our channel.
And do subscribe. 101.99 now. Yeah, all fucking off because we're doing all the nice bits. Oh, Gilly wants something to say.
Yeah, just one last thing is we're right on the cusp of finishing our challenge. So from the 1st of April to the 28th of May, we were undertaking a challenge of making our way under our own steam from Elland Road to the Spurs Stadium and back, or the equivalent of, because we weren't actually doing that journey, but we were doing the equivalent of it. So myself, Luke, Big Lou from LS11, and Irish Carl and Bren, we were all undertaking this challenge and great bunch of lads. And we're really close to the date and there's some squeaky bums going on. Some of us have finished our challenge, but there are some squeaky bums going on. It's going to be quite tight
knees.
To that deadline.
I was
going
to say,
and
what about
some
knees?
Really creaky knees along with the squeaky bums. So for everybody that's donated and everybody that's supported us, it has meant a lot throughout because there's been some really difficult times through it. It's not been an easy one. So thank you, everybody. And if you were intending to predict and payday's coming up and whatever else, if you can do every predict.
Intending to predict? It's all going peak tongue.
Donate. Anybody that was intending to donate payday coming up. And, you know, we know that it's difficult. So every bit that goes towards it, it means a lot to us. So thanks to everybody that has and thanks to everybody that does. And thanks to you lads as well, because I think we've all supported each other. So it's been really positive. So well done to us all.
Yeah, I think saying I were taking piss out of Luke's knees and shit, but I did support you, in all fairness.
You did?
Well, yeah, well done, everybody. Obviously, I'm taking it a bit slower than everybody else at the minute, but yeah, well done. I'm really chuffed and proud of you all. It's been a fucking tough slog, and especially for people like, having to force themselves to go out and actually do something that they weren't doing before. It's been really good, you know. One last thing, Andy's Man Club, always mention it towards the end. I think it's Monday nights. There was a new one opened last week as well that we mentioned or the week before. So do go check them out. If anyone's struggling with the season, how it's gone, don't let it bother you too much. It is only fucking football. Stay happy. Stay, you've still got families and friends and everybody else who need you and loves you. So fuck football for one.
And you've got us. And we'll still be here next season.
No, we're trying to build people up, Smarty.
What more could you possibly want than our ugly mugs on a fucking screen every Tuesday night?
In those times, it's important to remember what Bielsa taught us, that was don't get too high when it's good and don't get too low when it's bad.
Yeah, I can't help it.
There'll be good times and there'll be bad times, and it's a cyclical thing of football, and you know we will be back.
We will.
So it's that thing of trying to not let it get on top of you, along with a lot of other stuff that's difficult right now. So, anybody that wants to talk to anybody, you know, anybody can get in touch with us. If you're struggling with anything, you know, our DMs are open. You can get in touch with the pod, or you can get in touch with any of our individual accounts and what
if
have you.
Slide into my DMs. It's a risky.
God help you.
It's a bit gnarly in there. This is where Smarty's wife, Mrs. comes in and starts slapping fuck out of his head.
I'll get an iron thrown at me, Swede. Just knock it straight back. Fuck him.
And there'll be a few of us about in Peacock at weekend, no doubt. So if you want to come and say hello, then do so.
Yeah, if you're in there, come and say hello to us.
Yeah, ups and downs.
We'll cry. We'll console each other.
We've been through it all together, haven't we? Do you know what I mean? Let's do it.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.